whatever the kids are calling it these days.
Yeah.
And Juno was sitting at like 70 grand. It was firmly on the kill list. And now it's like 400. I'm like, oh, maybe I'll make 10 bucks.
Yeah, but you're still not going to make back the money for your server, are you, really?
Oh, well, maybe. It is just a VM sitting on some other thing. So
it's a because you moved everything over.
It cost me once. Well, I mean, if we're amortizing hardware and fucking the monthly cost of the internet, it is a very expensive VM at the moment.
Fair play. Hey,
Schultze. But you know, it's I had some of those sweet rewards that I went and collected and fucked off real quick.
Welcome to Game of Nodes, a weekly podcast from independent validator teams.
Hello.
So now it can cover the cost of my Raspberry Pi.
You want to get that
podcast
in.
From independent validator teams. And of course, this week we are talking about what else but Juno to the Moon.
To the moon.
The blocks must go on. And crucially, the degeneracy of Noel's self-hosted Raspberry Pi must go on. Could you host it on a Raspberry Pi? But no, you can't, because I think WASM doesn't, WASMA or the underlying WASM engine doesn't run on ARM devices, right?
I don't know, actually.
That might be very old news. It might now run on a Raspberry Pi, in which case, well,
the Ampere chip is like quite popular in some cases, and maybe they've, you know, done some work to be able to support that. If that's the case, likely that it would run on a Raspberry Pi.
We should ask Simon about that. I have fucked with that Ampere a little bit, but I haven't run any Cosmos chains on it.
It would be quite funny if it now did run around the Raspberry Pi, that's all I'm saying. Just after we wound down our Juno validator, we discovered we could have run it on a Raspberry Pi after all. Wouldn't be good for the brand image.
You couldn't run Juno on a Raspberry Pi.
I bet you could run it on a 5. I bet you could.
Wow.
A single core's actually pretty decent. I bet you could. I bet you could.
Sounds like a challenge for SERP. Yeah. I only have an Raspberry Pi's 4s lying around. And they get quite hot because I use them all with POE hats. So they're not exactly cool puppies. So I'm sure POE. They're throwing cool hats. Power over Ethernet, baby.
Okay.
Man, but you don't know about POE life? Oh, fuck.
So we
got me a 24-port POE switch down in the shed. Anything that I can, I plug into that fucking thing. It's great.
Wait. So hang on. Wait. Power over Ethernet. Not.
Yeah. It just uses the dead cables on a regular gigabit, a regular Cat 5 or Cat 5e plus 6, whatever you want, and you inject up to, I think it's like, I always forget what the different PoE plus T and all that shit is, but I think you can get up to almost 48 volts across those. And then on the other side, some machines just take power off those pins. Like we have all our access points and all that shit are all PoE, right? They just run off that. Or other ones, you can split it out. You can split it out into like a barrel plug, which is, I'm guessing that's what Null's doing with his Raspberries. I don't think the Raspberry takes PoE naturally, does it?
No, but I've got hats for it. So they
go
onto the GPIO plugs and they do some magic.
That works too. Or you could, or they just splits out. You plug in the Ethernet. It has like a little thing. It just splits it out into a barrel and an Ethernet plug. So you're not sticking 48 volts across the Ethernet. Yeah,
PoE. We could go and get one and show you. I've got some splitters somewhere.
Everybody knows what this is except for Frey.
Yeah, it's amazing.
It's been a long while since I've done
it. It's amazing you've made it this far in your life without knowing about PoE.
Yeah, no, but my point, sorry, I should have probably asked the actual question that I wanted to get to rather than the question that's kind of adjacent to the question that I wanted to get to, which is what are you actually accomplishing with this? What are all the Raspberry Pis littered around the place doing?
They're just handy for shit. They're handy, you know?
Handy for what shit?
It's like, one runs Home Assistant. I assume that, SERP, you got one running Home Assistant?
No, it runs on a VM. No, it's just on a VM on a Proxmox box here.
Yeah.
I have it running Home Assistant as well.
I don't have a Proxmox box in my house. So, Schulte, yep. Did you say you're also running Home Assistant on a Raspberry Pi?
POE? Yeah, I've got a 5 though, but yeah.
Ah, I've got a.
I'm actually thinking about putting a Mac Mini for it.
Hey, baller with the Raspberry Pi 5. Fucking hell.
All mine run music shit. That's it.
Music. Oh, right. Yeah.
Okay. They all run either Rune endpoints or like things like that that then plug into DACs that plugs into amps. Like, so for upstairs and then for our backyard and for here in the office, actually, I have one sitting over there.
For our resident audio file, I've seen your fucking music stereo shit. Room. Yeah. I can't even call it a home theater. It's a stereo room.
Yeah, there's no TV in here. just music.
Just music. Is that in your office? Is that off to the right there?
Yeah, it's over there.
By the fireplace? Was there a nice fire around the speakers, or it's just a wall of speakers?
Upstairs, yeah.
Yeah.
I spent so much time trying to figure that shit out, and in the end, you know I did.
Hmm.
I just
Sonos.
Two sets of speakers. That's it.
What do you mean?
Just fill your house with Sonos.
I have studio monitors here and a subwoofer here, and the
ideal
listening place is literally
there.
So, even when you're just like typing at the desk here, it's like you're close enough to like the ideal listening place. And then downstairs, I just have a full hi-fi setup. And that does have a little Yamaha thing that just basically allows you to cast, what's it called? The not Bluetooth, because Bluetooth is shit, but AirPlay.
Oh, yeah.
It just creates an AirPlay zone on that Wi-Fi network. And that, like, it was fucking not cheap. It was like 100 and something quid a few years ago. So it was like maybe double the price of Raspberry Pi, but you configure it once and it just fucking works. It's just worked ever since.
Like an appliance. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And you just plug it into your amplifier in the line in, and it just goes, okay, cool, fuck it. And you just cast to it from anything that has AirPlay anywhere when you're on the network. And that's like, oh, finally solved my shit. And I was like, right, I can dismantle all my Arduinos and Raspberry Pis and bullshit just to get music into the speakers. But it didn't change the fact that the office is like two stories above the living room and whatnot. And it's like, oh, fuck, I'm some buy speakers are upstairs. Duh.
Schulte, what's your Home Assistant game like?
Poor. It's quite poor right now. Yeah, I mean, I moved into this place for all of 6 hours before Mr. Baby started knocking on the door.
Yeah.
So
still knocking.
It should be better. And I have a lot of things. Yeah, still knocking. I should have a lot of things set up. I've got the previous house. I had like the water main. If water was detected in the bathroom, it would shut off the water main thing. Other things like that. But this house, nothing. It has Home Assistant running, and that's literally it. There's nothing connected to it.
I think we are like in a relatively similar situation where we moved in and then the baby. I did plug one in, and I had some shit that was already networkable. So my AC runs on it, which is pretty handy.
That's cool.
Other than that, not much. I am going to go get a 3-phase power shunt so I can start metering the power, which might help me do a few automations.
And you have solar, right? And
also, like, you know, I can meter the power already off of my my PoE switch for the different ports.
And you have solar at the house, don't you?
Yeah, so that's what I want to try and strike some balance between the things that run during the day and the solar.
Right.
So, like, you know, I don't like giving back to the grid because we don't really get paid much for it here. It's like a cent or whatever per kilowatt, and it cost me like 50. So whether I need it or not, I want to have the AC running all the time.
We have this cool program here for solar, because we have solar panels as well, where you can opt to get paid for it, or you can opt to have it put towards, for a one-to-one, towards like some, I don't know, low-income family or something. So like your solar, if you generate more than you want, then it'll go towards someone. I don't know who.
Like, somebody else. You can gift your power to like just.
You can gift your power that you generate.
A fox just walks up to my front door.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's cool.
That's.
I just got a notification, and I thought it was my other half getting back, and I was like, oh, I'm gonna have to just quickly step out for a second, so I better check what it is. And a fox just walked up to my front door, looked directly into the security light, which is also the camera, and then slowly walked away into a bush.
Like an orange fox.
Just a fox. Yeah, yeah, that was super weird. I was just like, yeah, he just...
That's cool.
He or she just wandered up, went, motherfucker, and then walked off.
I see you.
I can't see anything about Kazumazum and an arm. I don't know.
Yeah, I vaguely remember there might have been experimental support, but it wasn't fully... it wasn't fully supported. Anyway. So, Juno to the moon. Obviously, it's turned around. We're back, baby. We're so back.
Well, I think it's done an about turn again.
It's done an about turn. What's the price as of now? We go live to Null.
39 cents.
Watching team.
39 cents, so?
39 cents.
What was it up to yesterday?
60s. Yeah, mid-60s, somewhere in there.
So...
I mean, it rolled back, but I mean...
It was 8 cents before, right? It was a fair bit less.
Yeah, I mean, anything's...
less than 7 or something.
Anything's benefit at this point. It must have been...
It did hold for a while, though. It was like in the 50s all day. It just went down to 39 cents in the last little bit. I mean, there's not much liquidity, so I guess... Obviously, it's moving. It moves a lot, right? Still.
You just wait for Null to sell, and it just collapsed.
Yeah, exactly.
I sold my rewards. I wasn't going to miss that opportunity. If there was someone wanted it that bad, they could have mine. So,
did you actually sell them yesterday then?
63 cents.
You sold them at 63? Good job.
63 cents, nice.
Top of the market, baby.
I thought you only sold at the bottom of the market. That was the deal.
Well, that's how I help get out of the slump. And then occasionally I have to have a win, so...
You gotta take.
I gotta have a win.
Love your stuff. So
I only do my mass dumping at the bottom of the market.
It's just the small rewards at the top.
I really have to shake out that bottom section.
So the real question is, right? When is Stars? Okay, if whoever's behind the price manipulation, should this ever be used in evidence in court? I should say in advance. Obviously, this is satire. I'm being facetious. But also, if whoever's manipulating the price, if they could manipulate the Stars price up a bit, that would be lovely stuff.
Yeah,
just saying.
Just sitting on a bag, are you?
Just like, do you not know? I'm sitting, we are sitting on a bag that is comparable to the Big Balls blockchain bag that you're sitting on, I would imagine. Genesis Validator. Yeah, Genesis Validator. You're in the testnet.
Yeah, but I mean, in today's money, you could buy that again, like with your... pocket lint.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, the irony is, right, you could probably buy everything we've ever earned on Stargaze with a fraction of what part of liquid stuff would have been with the Juno pump yesterday, because everything is so down, I would guess, right?
Down bad, baby.
Well, yeah, like a million stars is how much right now? About 5K?
Oh, no, it's less than that, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it wouldn't be much.
It would be, oh no, you're right, $6,000. Yeah, you're right, $6,000 for a million stars.
There you go. So, what was that? 3 years of running a validator on Stargaze for $6,000 let's not even think about how expensive the boxes were when we ran them on AWS. Anyway, I can do better.
That's your fault for running shit on AWS.
Well, you know, look, the problem is I didn't adjust quickly enough to... spring 2022 prices becoming not spring 2022 prices, and there was like a good 9 month lag there where things were still on AWS, because it was like, well, you know, this is a temporary blip rather than this is we're never going to make money on these networks again.
So is there any like knowledge or understanding of what's going on here? Any theories? Has Rama done any detailed research to figure out what the hell's going on with this?
Detailed
the source of these funds. We did. I know it mentioned that it was a bunch of Adam that was getting. I think Jabby actually did a little bit of sleuthing in the channel, but I think he was determining that there was some Adam wallet that was doing swaps. I assume on Osmosis, right? I think is what it was.
Yeah,
that Adam Stars liquidity pool and buying Stars up and blah 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 and driving it up there. But I don't know if there's any more data.
From memory. There was quite a lot of switcherooing going on. That's the technical term. But it was via
technical term, switcherooing.
Yeah, but it was via, it was on Sexes. It wasn't on a DAX, I don't think. I think it was specifically on Kraken, wasn't it?
I don't know, actually. I thought
Kraken had the highest volume. I believe there was some, some action on the Kraken wallet back and forth. But
right, because there was somebody. I think you thought it was might have been. It might have been. It might have been Kraken themselves or something, right? Rama says Ray had a look most likely a Cosmos OG post human doing a lot of the pump, probably some insider buying for whatever Core Zero think is going on.
Who the fuck is Core Zero?
But the post human thing, I mean, I don't know if there's any more data to this. The only thing that I saw was related to post human was that there was, I think on the Atom wallet that was doing a bunch of swaps, they had like 500 Atom staked to post human. That's the only thing I saw that was even tied to that. But unless there was more data that actually showed, showed that there was something else.
Without the members.
Core Zero is Core One without the members. Yeah. And Robert says Kraken wallet was just the sex doing arbitrage mostly, which makes sense. Yeah. I mean, that part makes sense. And the fact that it was like the most, what did it say? What was Schultz Eve had? It was like the most traded on Kraken or was this the biggest? I forget what the hell their it was top 10 the, was.
Well, basically, if you logged into Kraken yesterday, into Kraken Pro, Juno was the top of the list of coins. I think potentially both. I think just by number of, because that list can't be via liquidity, because otherwise it would just always be. Sorry, it can't be by value, because otherwise it would just be like Ethereum,
mm-hmm.
or whatever. So it must have been just like pure like number of trades or something like that, because that would kind of make sense if it was like Arbin, because it would likely be lots of small bot trades via the API or something like that.
Yep. So. Little D says it only took $10 million. Is that right? Was it $10 million? Against trade?
Yeah, $10 million was pumped into the Juno ecosystem. That's what it was.
Holy shit!
It's quite a lot of money given where we are now.
I don't know about that. It says it only took $10 million for Juno to pump it. $10 million of trading, you could be wash trading it up.
True.
Yeah, doesn't necessarily. Oh. Yeah.
Or $10 million in volume. Yeah, or whatever. Still, I guess that's not, it's a pretty large, obviously that's 8x. So it's pretty decent about a bump for considering the amount of money involved or the least amount of trading involved.
And considering the use case of Juno?
Well, I mean, that's.
Juno has finally found a use case, Shorty.
Being brown Raspberry Pi.
I was hoping to think of something funny before you then asked me, and I didn't have a punchline to that. Wash trading scam. I don't know.
It's good. It works.
Case study in my paper. That's actually a pretty good case study. Pretty good use case. What else?
Wash trading.
Yeah.
Wash trading is a form of laundering. Perfect.
Oh, do you know what's happened this week? I'm pretty sure we're going to get debanked again. I don't know what it is about November, but every year in November somebody tries to debank us. So but you know what the funny thing about getting debanked is, and I think you fellas have all had this at some point to a lesser or greater extent, is that Once you've had a bank try and debank you once, you start being like more paranoid about the way you bank as a business, and you start to act in a more sus way towards your bank. And then it sort of like becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy, because then you've got like, oh, well, you know, we've seen that your company has deposited money from this other account that your company holds. We need to see some record of where the funds come from in that account. And then you hand over those, you go, fair enough, anti-money laundering, I get why you're doing this. You hand over a statement and they go like, all the funds in this account are just from another account owned by the company. And you're like, well, we have many accounts as a company. This is very normal behavior. And they're just like, this is not normal behavior. And you're like, look, either close down our account or just let us bank with you. I just don't care. I really don't care. Like, please just stop wasting our time. But yes, we do look really sus. That you're thinking we look sus. We look sus as fuck. But in our defense, we only look sus as fuck because you tried to debank us 2 years ago, and we then had to split 3 to 4 months worth of operating revenue between four banks so that if you debanked us and locked our account, we could pay our AWS bill and our Aptos nodes wouldn't go down. You fucking idiots. So, you know, some would say that the reason we look sus is because you guys are fucking complete idiots and a shambles of a bank. And the only reason you're going completely apeshit ham on this bullshit KYC process is because it turned out, and I believe it came out in the Financial Times, that several large banks, especially starter banks and challenger banks in the UK, we happen to use one of them for one of our main accounts, weren't actually doing any kind of money laundering checks at all and were facilitating scams and stuff. Now, as an actual limited company, where, to be fair, you can just literally fucking, if you are a bank, you are our bank, you can literally look up everything you need to know about us on Companies House. Why the fuck are you wasting my time with this? Oh, what, just look at our fucking accounts. You have a login, you must do, because you're a regulated entity. Go to Companies House with all the other information you know about us, which we were obliged to provide to you, and just fuck off. Like, oh God. Anyway.
Are you going to send them this podcast?
I'm going to send them this podcast.
Are you upset by this?
So the background here is actually I've had two of these in the last 2 weeks. So two of the four banks we use are currently
four banks.
Debanking.
No wonder you're getting fucking debanked.
Yeah,
everything you do creates.
Well, because one of our banks, our main bank, tried to debank us 2 years ago. I had to immediately open another bank account so that we could effectively still have liquid funds because they were going to lock our account.
Yeah.
So I had to get a new bank account. They were like, you've got 3 days, otherwise we lock your account, right? And there was no, like, I was like, well, fuck, that's a big threat. So I opened another bank account like the quickest I could at any other bank and immediately emptied the bank account. Just went bam. And they were like, this is super fucking sus. What the fuck have you just done? And then I was like, well, look, we're happy banking with you, but you need to not debank us and blah, 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 blah. Eventually we came back and we transferred some funds back in. But by that point we had two bank accounts. And then the second bank last year changed their terms of service and they stopped working with any company that does anything in the crypto industry. So we essentially stopped using them. But didn't close the account in case we ever needed it, because it's actually quite hard to open. Well, it's faff to open a bank account, isn't it? It's no pain to leave it open if you're not paying any money for it, right? So we only had to open another bank account. You kind of see where this is going. This is how you end up with four bank accounts, right?
Yeah.
So we have four. None of them got particularly much money in them. But it's just one of those where everybody's kicking up a lot of fuss about like something where you're like, look, dude, I read The Economist very occasionally. If there's absolutely nothing else to read, I read the Financial Times. The scale of fraud, the scale of money laundering that is actually like going on. Just why are we? Like,
meaning it's not large.
Yeah, it's really massive. Like it's massive.
Okay.
Massive. But the numbers are massive, and it ain't fucking us. Like who have like
it's clearly it's normal. Clearly, it's companies that look like you.
Yeah, well, yeah. Did you know what the irony of all of this shit is? That like, so we've recently done a thing where because of the consulting work we do, which is typically with regulated entities, we have to have really high, we have like a high burden of insurance because if something goes wrong, like, I don't know what the cost could be. The cost could be like
E&O and technical and all that shit, yeah.
Exactly. And so the insurance is quite expensive. And in the end, our accounts were just like, well, look, by the time you're putting this in, you may as well just like restructure the company so that there's a trading company and there's a company where if you make any money, the other company takes the money. And so worst thing that happens is the liability is contained within the current company. You still need insurance, obviously, but it's like,
yeah, they can't cross LLC boundaries or whatever else because
of the
liability.
Right? Mm-hmm. So like sensible thing, you're like, okay, fine, you know, accounts is their thing, right? If they say that's the thing to do, that's the thing to do. And mm-hmm. the irony is that has been really good for like limiting liability and that sort of stuff and like just taking that level of stress out of a bunch of different things. But also that's happened between last round of being threatened to be debanked spring last year and this round. So now when people are like, oh, we've noticed that the funds for your company's account come from this other company account that's a bit sus. And you're like, it's not really. And they're like, well, we're going to look into it. And then they look into it. And they're like, we've also noticed that your company structure has changed. And you're like, it's an administrative reason. Like, don't worry about it. And they're like, why is there a hole? And you're just like, look, can you just stop fucking asking questions? You don't know. You clearly don't want to know the answers to these questions. So I don't know why you're asking them.
Here they wouldn't ask that detail. I mean, they would do a KYC and they could do their own research in terms of company ownership, but usually they don't get too far beyond that.
Yeah.
Like, they're not doing too much with that.
I don't know if it's maybe because it was done while we already had accounts with these people and the company structure has changed underneath.
Yeah.
And I think that's maybe made them shit the bed a little bit. But
yeah.
The irony here is like that even if you're a small company or a micro company, you have to actually get this through the government. There's literally an office with companies. I think both Companies House and HMRC, the tax authority, both need to sign off on you doing the restructure, and you need to get lawyers involved. So the irony of all of this, right, is that you're kind of getting these like, what are you doing? And you're just like, literally, like the people that you're trying to impress with this are the regulator, the tax authority, the whatever. They've already had to sign off on this change, and we've had to provide them all the KYC documentation, all the legitimacy, all the business rationale. It's more funny and frustrating than it is like they're either already going to debank us or they're not, right? And you know, that would be bad, but oh god, it's such a pain when your bank account gets frozen and you have servers that are coming out of that bank account.
We've been lucky, actually. We got threatened once, but I fought it pretty hard.
How did you get back on them? Did you just be like, where does it say that?
No, they sent an email related to, I forget what it was. I forget even it was something. It wasn't really a company structure. It might have been just crypto something or other. And I just fought them. I literally emailed them back, and then we did an onboarding call with some groups. I called those guys back and tried to find somebody who was actually in a position of knowledge around account structure and why this was. And I provided more data on sources of revenue and all that kind of stuff. And they're like, oh, okay. And then they changed it. So that was the end of that, which was good. And then I just ended up, then I do have a backup. Like, I do have another one that I use that just to hold something around, but you can't fight those. I mean, you're obviously doing that, but, it just depends on, I think, you know, and our structure is pretty simple. And I think the other thing is, like, we don't do a lot of international wires and things like that. Like Kraken, we use Kraken a lot. So that's coming out of here in the US, which makes it a lot easier when you have, I mean, we talked about doing something offshore and things like that. When I think we start doing wires offshore and you're doing it to another, you know, private bank in the Caymans or something like that, then everybody's like, what the fuck is this? Right. So they're just wondering if you're laundering or source of funds or anything else. Right. Even if that company's yours.
Well, here there's been like this really weird thing, which is that, although it's literally perfectly legal to do, like to work in the crypto industry, like the rules are really clearly laid out in both the law, the tax authority, it's super, super clear what you need to do.
Yeah.
Or at least I feel like it is. Maybe whatever. And these regulated entities have just started, like they see, if they see like, and this was the problem with us in the first place, right? They changed their policies on companies that work in crypto, right? But they obviously just don't tell you. They just say our terms and conditions have changed, read it. And then after the fact, they're like, whoa, you didn't tell us your company does stuff in crypto. And you're like, because, you know, we do stuff here, there, and everywhere. We're the fucking Eggman, you know?
Yeah.
And they're like, well, no, after the fact, we've decided you are guilty of taking a bank transfer from Payward, which is the UK entity of Kraken.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, okay, so what? That's legal. So? And they're like, well, we, in our terms and conditions, it now says you can't do that. And you're like,
I think that, I mean, all this is, I think this will change. Like, it's definitely going to change here now that with this presidential change here, and with, I think there's going to be a lot of crypto related policies that are going to get sorted out here in the next couple of years, whether those are right or wrong, we'll leave away. At least there's going to be attention on it. And I do think that that will change quickly, especially as like now we're starting to see states here, you know, buying treasuries within Bitcoin. And you're going to see that elsewhere as well. And a bunch of other states here in the U.S. that are basically buying digital currency the way that they would buy gold or have another kind of component that's sitting there as a commodity type of thing. And as that grows, that's going to provide legitimacy to it. And as that happens, this Bitcoin price is going to go to 150,000. And then I think then as, you know, wires from Kraken or anything else is going to look a little bit less weird. You know what I mean?
But I mean, I don't know what it takes. Like, I don't even know that it's a legitimacy thing or whatever, because like there's no issue with it now. It's not illegal. It's fine.
Yeah. Just risk management.
Yeah.
That's all.
Well, that's what I mean. It's just, it's kind of,
it's just risk management. That's all it is. Yeah. And risk management.
The irony is actually, I could understand it more in the case of like, if you have, I don't know, like if you have an individual account, like an individual person, and there's payments from Kraken coming in that are like 100 grand or something, then you'd be like, are we a big crypto trader? Like, what's this happening? Or is it like, you know, is it some kind of a scam that's going to come back on us or something like that?
Yeah.
And then you're kind of like, okay, well, you know, I can kind of understand. I can understand more that you might be concerned about that. But given that, like, there is a higher burden of proof to open the bank account as a business in the first place anyway, like, you have to provide variety of stuff, all the things that would identify you in terms of like your documentation, all that kind of stuff. Like there's already like a higher burden of, well, yeah, I don't know. It's kind of weird. Like,
yeah, I think
paranoid about that.
These are private businesses. They have the ability to have their own risk management structure. They can kick you off at any time. Right.
Yeah,
It is what it is. Like, I mean, no matter what, no different than, You're an at-will customer there, so different banks are going to have different structures related to how they want to deal with that risk management, and they will make decisions to do that, right? And so, I think no matter what, I mean, even in our past, we've always had a couple of banks. You never want to trust, you know, exactly what's going on in every one of those situations, right? Yeah. So having two banks is not new to this business, I don't think, and I do think that risk management profile will continue to evolve, because I think right now a lot of these, especially smaller firms and things like that, have no fucking clue even what you do, much less being able to actually have somebody come in and put a proper risk structure around it, right?
Whatever they're doing is like, yeah, fine, I get that you guys obviously have like some kind of thing you're trying to risk, just like make it fucking clear and just tell us, like,
yeah,
do you know what? Go fuck yourselves, or like, fine. But it's very, very bizarre, because you're literally just like, look, dude, if we did not file the correct source of funds with like our end of year accounts, we'd be absolutely cooked as a company, right? That's just how it is.
What that, like, they're like, nice for any company, right?
We're de facto above board, right? We like, you go speak to our accountants, you know, like, I guess the thing is that there are ways you can avoid that, right? And there are ways you can provide the minimum amount of information, and, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So like you say, it comes down to risk, I suppose.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's one of those irritating things, because this is like a difficult, it's a difficult industry to work in that regard, right? In kind of legitimacy terms. And then you're also just like, we've spent so much time and frankly money, like, trying to make sure that every T is crossed and every I is dotted and whatever, sometimes to our detriment in terms of like cost and faff and hassle and documenting everything and blah, blah, blah. And every time one of these things rolls around, you just like roll your eyes, especially like, I mean, to be fair, thank you, Juno, for giving us a pump this week. Yay.
Small pump.
A little pumperoo. But like, you know, a lot of the projects that we've worked on have not been doing so well of late.
No, are you kidding me?
it's like there's like a bear market or something. Well, so
I mean, it depends on, I mean, as of late, this year has been awesome.
As of very recently, there have been some W's,
yeah,
you always say.
Yeah, no, as of this year, for sure. Like, this has been I mean, this pump, we can make fun of this Juno pump because we've been around for a couple of years.
Yeah.
We've seen where the graph is. But it is up 400, like 600% this week, right? So in that sense, somebody's making out.
We're back
this week, maybe. We're back. Exactly.
Yeah, we're back.
It's a great token. Went from 7 cents to 38 cents. What are you talking about?
Do you know what's
fucking awesome?
Do you know what's funny, right, though, is that to be fair, I don't think it was November 2 years ago. I think it was actually just around the time of the SBF thing, just before everything fell apart, was the last time that somebody tried to like debank us quite thoroughly. So maybe the debanking is it. We're back. We're back because people are taking enough of interest to try and debank companies that are working in crypto again. There's interest in crypto again.
Wait, you're saying that your debanking is responsible for this pump?
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, I don't think. Yeah. I don't think.
Every time somebody tries to debank Needlecast, CoinGo Moon.
It's like every time you hear a bell.
Yeah. Something's mooning.
Something's mooning. I don't think so.
No, yeah, because 2 years ago, what happened was we got threatened with debanking, and then the market collapsed to the big bear boy. So
I don't think so.
But maybe this is the other half. This is like the shift of route back in the other direction. Like, you need one debanking, and then this is the debanking that sets it all straight. It's like correcting the thing.
No. I don't think so. I don't think that's what it is.
Yeah, I don't think that's what it is. Cool. So, yeah.
Yeah. So, Null's rich. It's cool.
Null's rich.
Still going to come on this podcast now with this Juno pump or what?
Big Juno boy.
Big Juno boy.
A gold chain in the mail. Gold hubcaps for my Lambo.
Did I remember that you unstaked all your Juno? Or is that not the case?
Like all of the, some, not all.
Cagiest response.
That was cagey as shit.
It was a long time ago. I still have a fair bit staked.
tell me you didn't just sell 100k Juno without telling me.
No. Yeah. No.
You're waiting for a dollar. I know. In your heart of hearts, you want at least a dollar.
At least
like
a dollar.
Like a, I don't know, year or so ago, probably unstaked about half of our stuff and sold it off responsibly.
A year ago? So
feathered it in right at the bottom of the market.
I don't even know where, a year ago, we're about where we were a year ago, isn't it? Wasn't it? I can't remember either. I guess not, because I had that graph up. It wasn't that long ago that there was a separate like March pump last year that was like, I thought like $3 or $4 or $5 or $6 or something like that. But that's, I don't know, it's a year and a half ago. Can't remember shit. Well.
I don't think it's been $5 since 2022, man.
Is it? Jeez. Time flies when you're running the Juno Validator. It's pumping those zero transaction blocks.
Other chains are doing all right as well this week, I noticed.
I mean, yeah. What I would say is not everything is following the arc of Bitcoin. I'm surprised with just how little Ethereum has moved overall, like relatively versus Bitcoin. Everything else that we have.
We've got a pile of Ethereum to do that DVT fucking thing.
We will. Do you know,
I looked at when, it's been fucking like 7 months. We just sat on that Ethereum. That Ethereum's going down in value, right?
It's it's not. You bought it like 20. You would have bought it like 23 or 24, 2500, right? It's 33 right now. Oh, no, it's 31. Okay, still. You're up.
Wait.
I made you money. It's $3,100.
I'm a fucking genius.
Genius. Fucking game of nodes. You're up.
Game of nodes is making W's all day long.
On a beach, making 20%.
Hey, maybe this is financial advice after all.
Yeah, there you go. But everything else, I think we have everything else is kind of following Ethereum, except for Juno. Obviously, keep that out of there. But everything else is kind of following Ethereum, at least in terms of curves. But
I mean, this is how the normal cycle goes, though, right? Bitcoin spikes and then it takes all the wind out of everything else's sail, aside from Solana, apparently.
Yeah.
And then people are like, holy shit, Bitcoin's really high right now. I should take some wins and buy altcoins. And then those spike for a while.
Yeah.
And then people are like, oh my God, look at those meme coins. I should take out my alts. And then they go into meme coins and those spike for a while. And then the entire market crashes.
Yeah, it's like what happens when a whale dies at the top of the ocean and then everybody feeds on it as it sinks towards the bottom, right?
And then it floats back up a little bit because it gets so bloated with gas, which is the second pump. That's the dead cat bounce. It keeps going back down.
It's a perfect analogy.
Well, unfortunately, with this Elon situation, I think it's skipping altcoins and it's going from Bitcoin directly to meme coins, right? Like, isn't Doge up a shitload? I don't watch that thing, but isn't it like way up?
I mean, but we're also going to have a Doge agency. So oh, that's like, of course, Doge.
Yeah,
so.
Of course. I mean, it's legitimacy now. We have some, yeah.
I mean, the real question is how many Doge did I have back in the day? Was it 20,000? Was it 100,000?
It had to be more than that. They were like, there's a lot of zeros in front of that thing.
Yeah, but I mean, the point was I was in the pub once.
Do you still own it?
As was my wont back then. And I bought a pint's worth of Doge. Okay. One beer worth, which at the time, 2014, would have been about £3.10. It's about $5.
Okay.
About $5 worth of Doge. And I think it was about 20,000 Doge at the time. Give or take, something like that.
Now, I'm sure you got your money's back right now.
Oh, yeah. I sold it. I sold it for $420.
Oh, you did?
It's $420. I'm like, I'm out. It's never going any higher. It instantly went to like $1,000 after that. And I was like, well.
See?
You win some, you lose some.
Should have held it.
Should have held onto the shit coin.
Yeah.
But hey, you know, it's fine. You know, this is whatever, man. It was okay.
I don't know. We'll see if the alts make a little bit of a come. I mean, it's not awful, but we'll see if they make a little pump somewhere in the structure. Bitcoin though, I do think that it's got a lot of runway. Yeah. Like it's got, yeah.
Is that financial advice?
I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't buy it. I didn't buy it. Want to buy it at 16,000 or 8,000 or 24,000 or 54,000 at 94. I was like, what the hell? But again, that's the reason I don't own anything.
I remember when it was 100. Well, fuck, I should remember before that. Yeah. I remember having some when it was $140.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Hey, whatever, man.
Yeah. I still laugh at my Bitcoin trading days for Diablo 2 items. Those are the glory days.
I'm sure somewhere in this house there's a mnemonic with a little bit on there. There has to be, because I know I remember fucking around with it early days, and I remember even running a small miner like early days, like 10 years ago or ish, something like that. There must be, but it has to be gone. It has to be lost in the ether.
I'm going to be back in a second.
If I remember correctly.
I think I've just remembered that I have some Bitcoin dust somewhere. I'm going to be right back.
There has to be some dust somewhere in this house.
It's like 22 Bitcoin. He's like, no, well, it's I not. Guess, it's fuck not you that. Guys, I'm logging it's out. Not,
it's not that. Oh my goodness! It was tough to generate Bitcoin even back in the day. I think it would have been that would have been Pentium something at that point. It's fucking
well. Here's the fun thing about it for me. I don't think they had mnemonics for.
No, it would have been mnemonic. It would have been. Okay. It would have been a private key in a wallet.
Yeah. So whenever I was trading Bitcoin for items, I got scammed, right? For something stupid, and I had so little understanding of Bitcoin. Granted, I'm like a high schooler,
mm-hmm.
and I messaged PayPal to like try and get my money back. And they're like, what the hell are you talking about? And I was like, I don't know what I'm talking about.
I don't know.
Yeah. So I can say that I was here a long time ago, but.
That's funny. Boy, we got a bad storm going on right now. There's shit blowing around all over the place outside. No foxes walking up to the windows, but I do see tree branches falling outside.
Portland had a bomb cyclone yesterday.
Oh yeah, maybe that's what. Maybe it
means nothing to me, but apparently the coast got wrecked, and like a bunch of people had their powers out. But I'm 150 miles inland, so
Craziness. Well, what else, guys? Juno pump.
Hold on. Just trying to find out if I'm rich. I'll be back in a second.
The answer is no. Frey, you mentioned recent wins. Is that something you mentioned? You said, it's been a shit bear market, blah, blah, blah. Recently, things picked up. Not listening to me. DGAF.
No. He's too excited about those big, that big
he's,
money.
He's like,
I have 700.
I know I've got 20 bucks of Bitcoin here somewhere.
Cosmos. I just found 700 Atom, sorry.
Oh, sweet.
Oh.
That's like
$12,
$22
or
something.
Dude. Yeah. 700.
Wait, that's 35,000 pounds.
700 Bitcoin would be better, but it's a start.
Well, where shit. Does someone I randomly mean,
I, thought, have... I thought I had like 0.0015 Bitcoin, like dust, in an old Poloniex account that I'd maybe sent back to an old Kraken account. But what I've just found is in an old Kraken account, I have one ETH, which I knew I had somewhere. I just hadn't remembered which account was. And I knew I would have the password for it, so I wasn't worried. But I have one ETH and 697 Atom, which apparently have been staked to the Kraken validator for the last
really?
Five
oh,
years.
Yeah.
You know who's going to want to know about that? The tax man.
Probably not, because of the way it works. I don't know. Because it will be generating very little per day.
Ben Davis, think good of the question. Airdrops you didn't get.
Well, I didn't get Juno for starters, I guess. Although it's probably much less. Or to, I guess, yeah, you only get like 5%, don't you, on Kraken staking or whatever. But even so.
Congrats.
Yeah, congrats. That's completely... I mean, I'm not going to do anything with it. I'm probably just going to... Hey, there's... Oh my God, I've just realized the page is wrapped. There's more.
I think you're the first person to ever make money on Game of Nodes.
Excellent. Hey,
you took your own financial advice and like looked at an old wallet.
Don't freak out. There's Ripple in this wallet.
I had Ripple at some point.
Hey, you probably made money off of that as well. You might have. I think it's over $1 right now.
Yeah.
I have 200 Ripple, which I... How do you find out what you paid for something? That's a good question.
Does it matter?
I'm just curious.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause it was worth quite a bit at some point in the past, wasn't it?
I have no idea.
It was worth 270 quids in 2018.
Very exciting.
Well, yeah, if that would have been more exciting if I'd found out that I had 200 Ripple in 2017. 7 years ago, 8 years ago. Ah, oh, entropy's a son of a bitch, isn't it?
It's not bad.
Yeah. If only... Yeah, anyway, whatever. Oh, I have 0.04 Ether POW worth $4. This is maybe later, Kraken. Cool. Well, it begs the question of where the fuck that Bitcoin was, but hey, that's cool. This is nuts. Well, Game of Nodes. Son of a bitch. Should be the new tagline. Game That's of good. Nodes. Son you of son bitch. Of a bitch. Although, to be fair, this is more or less the same reaction that I had yesterday to the Juno pump when friend of the show Ben Davis brought it to my attention, and then, you know, found we had a little bit knocking around, so sold a little bit. And thought, hey, that's nice.
Unexpected money is nice.
No more, what's it called? No more coal in the stockings for toddler of the house here. Happy days.
Just instantly turn shit coins into toys.
I've just remembered a Juno wallet, which I hadn't thought of. Ah, I bet there's a bit of Juno in there. Right.
BLP. Core one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Just remembered, I've got the multisig for Core One. Let's start sending myself. There's isn't there like a live proposal at the moment to restructure the fact that like a load of the DAOs for the now defunct charter just have like loads of money floating around? Now would be the time to just quietly slush those into a fund. That's all I'm saying.
I have no idea. I haven't watched anything with that. Are either of you guys still involved in that? Like, there's no Juno governance happening in
this group, right? Anything happening with Juno.
No, okay. All right.
But yeah, we are long.
I thought maybe Noel was still doing something there, but no? Hmm? Still involved in Juno at all? In any way?
Nah.
There's nothing, right?
Never.
Too toxic.
Well, yeah. I mean,
everyone's just biting the head off each other over there. It's just like not cool. So
yeah,
you know, got other shit to worry about,
right?
Demi's pulling the band back together. Rama says,
"We're back, baby."
Hello, Cleveland. No, I get it. How you've got back? This is the broom closet again.
It was funny watching on Twitter as the price pumped, all of the old faces were popping back up.
I know. Hey, I made a tweet too, and there's like all these old names
back together.
it's like the Blues Brothers. Like somebody goes out to go pick up Matt Guitar Murphy and shit. Yeah, he's working in a. It's funny.
I'll be waiting for the limo in the lobby. Hey, do you remember Bostrom?
Nope.
Yeah, weird, huh?
Bostrom.
That's the one that Gedeon was super into, right?
Farmers is Islander. Yeah, Islanders. Yep. Oh, the faithful, God. The few, the proud.
Yeah, sorry, guys. I got a little bit distracted with logging.
As one does.
Yeah. Apparently you can log forward on Hardproxy. That's handy to know.
You can do what?
Log forward.
What do you mean log forward? Oh, you mean push them somewhere else? Yeah.
The logs.
Yeah. Before we got on, I was canceling some machines, and I accidentally canceled the wrong. I canceled two of the wrong ones, so I was frantically sending an email and a call to the support desk, like just don't kill those. Actually, it could have been killed. They were fine. It's not a big deal. Like it wouldn't have done anything, but whoops, wrong ones.
You know, like there has been some interesting infrastructure things happening. There's the cable of the submarine type got busted up between.
Yeah, that's true.
Thanks for interrupting me. Where was it between? The fray, seeing as I rudely interrupted and fucked up my conversation.
My left ball and your right ball. Wait, hold on. That was what I meant to say. My left ball and my right ball.
I genuinely don't know what it was between. I think it was Germany and somewhere Finland.
Sweden and Finland.
Sweden
and Denmark.
Sweden and Finland.
So Sweden, Finland, Denmark, down. It was coming down the North Sea, basically. So
there was temporary
in the Netherlands.
Yeah, they must have done some rejiggering of the routing because there's complaints about communications between Hetzner and OVH.
Yeah, that's what we
Because they're two
with.
Quite popular data centers in those places.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, I got a brand new server from OVH, only to have the hard drive fail not one day later.
Was it a new hard drive? Like a new NVMe?
It was not old. I checked it. Every time I get a new server, I have like a little bit of a checky poo on the wear of the drives. Thing.
Yeah.
And they were like 6% wear, so they had done some work, but I mean, that's not bad.
I'm surprised too, because I thought you got one of the new Epic ones.
The new Epic 4000 series.
I'm surprised that they're reusing old NVMEs in those and not just those didn't ship with new machines or new whatever.
Presumably this had been recycled from another
user. But they've only been out there for, they've only been at OVH, I think, for a month, two, maybe?
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe they are recycling drives from some old shitty boxes.
Could be.
Because they're still using those Gen 4 960s. They're all prolific in OVH.
Yeah.
So I'm sure they have a fucking warehouse filled with used ones.
Just stacked up to the rafters.
And I'm almost positive they don't check them.
Of which your nodes have fucked most of them.
We've obliterated some hard drives.
It is kind of
960 gig is not a lot when you're talking about drive writes per day.
Yeah.
Like, you know, obviously the bigger the drive, the harder it is to write the whole thing in one day. So, you know, the durability of a drive is usually in the enterprise world, one drive right per day for 5 years. If you can drive right at multiple times per day, obviously you reduce that 5 years by quite a bit.
Yeah, 6% though in a couple months. That sounds cryptolicious.
Yeah, it definitely sounds like copy on write file systems write a fair bit, so maybe they're running ZFS on them or something.
Yeah,
it's a charitable interpretation of what probably was going on.
Hmm? Yeah, well,
it's charitable. It wasn't. It was probably not degeneracy, Your Honor.
Okay, it's probably just an old machine.
It's probably just an old machine.
Old drive. No, old drive. I mean, yeah, let's recycle it. Shove it in there. Wait till it fails. Go to the next one.
Yeah. And it failed. The response time for repairing that, by the way, you'll be unhappy to know, took a week.
Really?
Yeah, it was pathetic.
Like it was open and like they didn't replace it. Like it was a failed machine for a week.
Yeah. Do you know what really fucks me off though? Like they're over there, those people. They don't with the tickets, they don't read back the history. They don't go back in the history. If there's someone who comes onto the ticket, they don't look at the conversation history. They just like, what is it up to? And then they fucking send messages all the time confirming that they can turn it off, even though you've said, just replace the fucking thing immediately. Right?
Yeah. They do.
And then the next message is, we've scheduled an intervention. Is if you don't confirm that it's okay to turn it off in the next 5 minutes, we'll reschedule it.
Right.
Did you just
turn it off?
Turn it off.
Yeah.
And they're like, can we destroy the data? It was a RAID 1 file system, a RAID 1 that's got one disk missing. A RAID 2 that's got one disk missing. So a RAID 0, sorry. Fucking hell.
Jesus Christ. How many RAIDs?
And, there is no data left. So just replace the drive so I can rebuild the box.
Power it off.
Yeah, there should be an option that you can tick in the web UI. It's just like DGAF about data. Just fix it.
Just fucked question.
Yeah.
Little checker.
Yeah, instead, like, it's really in OVH, they really, I don't think they like you, like, doing tickets. I think they'd prefer you, like, you know, read the frequently asked questions instead of doing tickets. It is difficult to find and submit a ticket, and sometimes it just don't work. And then, just all the bullshit you go through, it's so fucking annoying.
More often than not with OVH Cloud, I just message old tickets and I'm like, hey, I've got a new issue. And then they're like,
Okay.
I messaged our account manager a couple of times and they're like, this is something you really need to file a ticket for. And I'm like, but
my account manager doesn't like me.
I don't like you.
Nobody likes you. Look, you're lucky I've got thick skin because I live high up and the window's open. All right.
Would you ever do
that?
I
don't know what that means.
I don't know what that means either.
I think he's threatening to kill
us. It could upset me and I could jump out the window.
Did you know, Noel, that threatening to kill yourself as a way of emotionally manipulating people into liking and or respecting you is commonly seen as a form of emotional abuse? So
do you like or respect
me? Stop being my oppressor.
I'll take it.
I'll take it.
Get in the suit.
Lovely stuff. I don't think anybody's account manager likes them though, do they? Really?
I don't even have one over there.
I do send a lot of emails asking for discounts. So
maybe that's why.
I mean, I just don't like paying the setup fee. I've got a long history of keeping these things basically forever. So I just don't want to be in a contract.
Yeah,
but exactly. I still think I shouldn't pay the setup fee.
I mean, based on volume, I would agree, right? If you have 10 or 15 machines over there, like you should not be paying for a zero-day setup fee, a waiver.
It's like this guy, like we'd be bringing up machines far more often if there wasn't a setup fee.
Yeah,
I'd bring up a machine like if the minimum's a month anyway. Like, yeah, if I need something in a pinch, I'll just get it. Likely, I'll just keep it. But if I have to pay a setup fee as well, I'm like, do I need it that bad? Maybe I'll just like jam this somewhere else.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. now that I have a Proxmox cluster, I'll just keep jamming shit into that. Great for microservices. Great for microservices. Slowly getting rid of all of my, $7 DigitalOcean droplets. Oh my God.
Like relayers and shit, you mean? Like that type of stuff?
Just, yeah, little stuff. Like, you know, if there's like a, you know, stuff that you don't want to go down, like, for example, Pego, Schulte, just don't want to have to think about it. And if, and you don't really want it on one of your bigger boxes where you maybe like don't have, I'm not saying they've got bad security, but it's not on your mind, if you know what I mean. So, you know,
so
they've got
Nell somewhere has a box that just has like a piece of gaffer tape on the front. It says Cosmos shit. And it just like has a faintly winking red light. It's not SSH'd into it in a while. It hasn't had any security upgrades on it in a hot minute.
You open open lots of like ports. So, you know, and when you piss services off on it, you're not necessarily closing them. They're disposable boxes. Like you don't care. So you don't want to have like, you know, a service with a key running on it.
Well, we just had fucked issue with the IPMI thing. It's a good example of that. Like those are things outside of our control. Like
those boxes are getting
hit by that. Was it IP Project that one, or did I imagine that?
It was IP Projects, and it was another one of our providers too that had a small subnet.
Who had a far better response, so we won't mention them.
Yeah, they did have a better response. They just actually, since I talked about it a couple episodes ago, but we had two machines actually get attacked in that same data center, and we went through, I won't rehash it, but we got through the whole thing and they realized it was their issue. And so they upgraded 10 of our machines there from 7950s to 9950Xs without cost, which was really nice. So we just went from, which actually it's same drives, only they just replaced the motherboards and replaced the IPMI and like all this kind of stuff. So we went from ASRock to something else, which was really nice. And they all just came back up, same IPs. It took like an hour of downtime because they did all that stuff. But doing that for 10 machines, I thought was decent. Even though none of these machines, hope they don't hear this, but none of these machines use the CPU that much. So it's really, it wasn't that big of a deal, but at least I got off of the ASRock stuff and into something else.
Did you know that a 9800X is faster?
Yeah. Fucking, God damn it.
Fucking asshole.
Fucking asshole. Yes, there are faster machines than this. I know.
Well, anyway, come on, what we're talking about. Something we were bitching about.
I cut Null off. Null was on it. He was on a rant on something. I started talking about my stupid 9950Xs that aren't as fast as the 9850X.
9800X.
God damn it. I can't believe that OBH was down for a week. That's ridiculous. Did they give you a week off of that price?
No,
they should. You should bitch about that.
Time to follow it up. I'm sure that's what they bank on.
That you should bank. You should respond with that and say, instead of that, give me the next year of no setup fees on these fucking machines. Because
yeah, I mean, if that was
we want to add to it, but you guys are not working.
I mean, the way to think about it, right, is if that box is already up with like a client and it was custodial or something. Like if you had some kind of project that was like directly rebuilt for a client, essentially for that project. There was an SLA attached. How angry would you be about that fuck up? You would be incandescent with rage.
If I had an SLA with a client, I would not be running RAID 0 and I would have multiple machines on the job. There would be no downtime.
Okay, point taken. But if let's imagine a narrative where it's two machines, both at OVH, whatever, it's more likely it would be a networking issue than a hard drive failure. But they're down for a day. You would be like, you fuckers, what the fuck? Like,
would I be pissed? Yes, but I don't roll like that, so it wouldn't happen.
You don't roll like what?
I wouldn't put two boxes in the same data center if it was for an SLA.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah. If I had an SLA, I'd diversity of data center, diversity of provider, diversity of equipment. Diversity, maybe.
Although that would assume you were running a system that could be diverse in that way, because some obviously can't.
Like what?
Oh, like
I can run AMD on one and Intel on another. I can run one in Germany and one in France. I can run one in.
There's a ton of chains that don't have MPC.
Yeah, exactly. There's a ton of shit load that have no multi-party computation for the signing material now.
There's a fucking
the majority.
Oh, if we're talking about, sorry, if you're referring to,
you know, the industry
validators specifically.
Yeah, you know, this is a validator podcast. Sorry, I think
validator operations
somewhere.
Well, you know, I'd run it on some hardware of my own that I could control.
And run it on some
in a redundant manner.
That is the traditional way of running software on hardware, I've heard.
Yeah, but isn't
the cloud?
Okay, if I was running a validator, right, for a client, it would not be on a fucking OVH box.
You're a Hetzner man?
No, it wouldn't be on a publicly rented fucking bare metal machine.
Why?
Because it's a validator and you don't know. It could be someone with a little...
Versus what? In the...
Well, obviously the answer for the Cosmos shit is a remote signer on something that's not publicly rented. But I'd run it on private stuff because I have it. I don't know what I'm doing.
Like in the last like 4 months, you're talking like... You've never done that.
I don't.
Like you only had this stack for like 4 months.
Now I own my own servers.
I understand. Yeah, I understand.
Whoever you've rented servers, you know, I drink my port in the evening in the drawing room, and I contemplate all of these. Plebeian fellows running.
I don't have time for this conversation. I'll be in the study.
I'm not gonna beat around the bush.
Why would they?
Now that I am owned hardware elite, I'm gonna look down the length of my nose at you all.
We run two of three on our own hardware, and the third one. But you don't run multi. You don't run a raft, right?
It's degen Horcrux all the way,
which makes this
now
even funnier.
let me look down my nose at your pitiful
our own server in single signer mode.
Let me look down my nose at your pitiful single server sitting in a data center.
I wouldn't run three signers on public hardware. How ridiculous!
Oh man,
I have my reasons. Anyway, you rented peasants. What has there been anything else going on? Or is someone hovering the button?
I don't know.
I mean it's been pretty quiet recently, and our guy doesn't really seem to do anything anymore since we stopped paying him, so I don't know.
That seems reasonable.
Yeah. I don't know if it's real. Is it related though?
I don't know. Something busy.
Something busy, I think. I mean, now that Juno's pumping, you should have a lot more time, I think, right? Selling rewards.
Ben Davis keeps mentioning. Well, actually, there's been quite a few mentions of Quant. I don't know.
There's some Quant. I have no idea. So, no.
Is that the new bad kids?
I don't think. Is Quant get a new bad kid?
It's, is it? knowing these a lot, it's either a meme or some dead chain.
Remember, so we'll be back after the 3rd of December. That's good. We could use the news.
Who will be? Oh, right. Well, we won't pay you, so.
Oh, that's good. 4th is... the 4th. Actually, we do have somebody coming. We didn't have Jasper coming.
Why will
SATA.
We be back after the 3rd of December? We will will be back after the 3rd. So he will be back. Back from where? Where did you go?
Back to help out with us.
I can't click links in the thing, so. What do you want from me?
This has been a hell of a show.